Usually it begins with a whistleblower. Usually through the False Claims Act, a whistleblower files, a lawsuit and provides information about what the company is doing. And that begins the investigation. Here, I think it went on for 5 or 6 years from that time, looking into all the information that was provided and then following additional leads that developed as...
And you just follow the pieces. So you're sort of following the money kind of thing.
Well, yes, and usually following a trail of a lot of documents, because that's usually what's involved, is you're talking about a scheme here that's being carried out over many years all across the country. And so trying to get through all of that and pull it together and figure out who's responsible and how it happened.
And this can be difficult to do, can't it?
Yes, it can be challenging and somewhat overwhelming in terms of just how much information there is out there. And one of the real challenges of these types of investigations is actually trying to figure out how to focus it so that you can pull it together instead of getting lost in all the evidence.
And in this specific case, it was about essentially they were promoting drugs that weren't approved for uses, correct?
Right. The biggest piece of the resolution was the promotion of the drug Bextra for uses that were not approved by the FDA and had actually specifically the FDA had said, we're not approving it at this time because we have a certain safety concern about the drug and we want further studies. And the company went ahead and promoted it for that use, which was sort of acute pain uses and higher dosages.
And yet these were sort of being encouraged to use, and therefore the government was paying. I mean, one almost thinks that there should be some kind of technology that prevents that from money going when you have those kinds of cases.
Right. Well, one would wish, but the issue is really that physicians are free to use drugs for unapproved uses if they find that it is in the best interest of the patient's health. So there is room out there for doctors to prescribe what's called off-label, but the company is not supposed to be promoting it off-label. They are supposed to go through the FDA approval process before they go out and encourage people to use it for an unapproved use. And that's where the violations of law come in.
And I imagine there's working with folks like IGs and stuff, because they're probably, those initial reports, those whistleblower reports, often come into IGs or an office like that?
They can come into the Office of Inspector General, and in this case, the award actually goes to the Pfizer team, and there was a team of attorneys and agents and paralegals who worked on the case, including from the Department of Health and Human Services, the Veterans Administration, the Postal Inspector General, and others.
This is one of these things, because we see it on 60 Minutes all the time, or, you know, one of these shows where they, and it's such Medicare, Medicaid, the government pays out so much money in these areas. Guess what? You're going to have a percentage of those that are fraudulent. But it undermines the credibility of government almost more than anything else, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know. I guess a lot of things undermine the credibility.
Right.
and undermine the credibility of government. But I certainly think in terms of our healthcare system, it's incredibly important that the money gets spent properly for patient care that's really needed. And that's the problem. And these drugs are so costly that when you have a scheme to use them improperly, it is hugely costly to the system.
And I mean, I was this waste, fraud, and abuse notion. People just assume the government being just laden with waste, fraud, and abuse. There's a lot of checks and balances here, aren't there?
Well, there are a lot of checks and balances, but they're also very difficult to catch. And one of the things that we have found in doing these investigations is often without the information from an insider, you can't even begin to understand what's being carried out, why, what was supposed to happen and how it got twisted. And then by the time it turns into billings to the government, all that information is lost because the only thing that is a prescription getting submitted to a pharmacy, which submits it to Medicaid. So there are checks and balances, but it simply can't catch the kind of deception in how the data is presented to the doctors in a day-to-day basis by a sales force without some way of getting behind all that, which is what the whistleblowers really provide.
And the folks who want to perpetrate fraud seem to always get more crafty in how they do that.
Well, yes. The fraud perpetrators believe in the capitalist system, too. So. Sometimes I say it's just a wonder how well the capitalist system works in the creativity that people come up with these things.
And folks, folks who do that, a lot of information sharing going on there. They manage to somehow talk amongst themselves and figure out how to, you know, oh, this worked, this didn't kind
right.
of thing.
Right. Well, and one company sees another company doing something and then they try it too, I guess. So, or maybe they come up with it on their own. I don't know.
Why'd you become a Fed? How'd you become a Fed?
Well, truthfully, I always wanted to work in, when I went to law school, in some kind of public service, and I eventually got into the U.S. Attorney's Office, which is one of the great places to do public service as a lawyer in Boston, and then I've gotten into this False Claims Act work and work, which has a lot, focuses on fraud on the government and undermining the integrity of government programs, so... As a believer that government can do good, you have to make sure that it is actually doing good with its programs and
yeah.
that the money isn't wasted.
It's almost a notion that some folks just don't get, that people do actually, part of the reason why feds become feds is because they do want to give back. It's their way of saying, hey, I can make a difference in the world.
Well, absolutely. And one of the privileges of working as a Fed is trying to make sure that everyone is answerable to the law, whether it's, and one of the privileges of working on a case like this is that whether it's a huge corporation like Pfizer with lots of resources or another case I had was against Harvard University to make sure they followed the rules of their government grants, that everyone is answerable to the law in this country and that sort of ordinary people can actually have to carry that out. And that's sort of an incredible government concept.
Yeah, no, it's and one of the quotes that's about you in the write-up about your Sammy's nomination is from Phil Coyne, who is of course an agent with the mm-hmm. IG's office over at the Department of Health and Human Services. He said you're relentless and committed to the pursuit of truth. And I mean, as I said, I think these kinds of frauds can really undermine, yes, they're in insurance, but they undermine all government programs and give a really bad taint to mm-hmm. to what people, how people perceive their government.
Well, I think that's right. And I think making sure that the large corporations and the people with a lot of influence in our society are still answerable to the law is really important in making it a fair system.
How do they let you know when you're a Sammy's nominee? Do they just call you up and say, by the way?
I think so. I'm trying to remember whether it was an email or a call.
Oh, can't just be an email. They have to give...
There must have been a call, but, you know, the thing is, I truthfully had never heard of this before.
Oh, really?
So it's sort of a process of looking it up and going, oh, wow, that really is an honor.